You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
I am Brett.
And I'm Steven.
We are
the Broadway Husbands.
Your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Visit us on BroadwayHusbands.com or check us out at the Broadway Podcast Network at bpn.fm/husbands. We are proud members of the Broadway Podcast Network. And if you want to support us, check us out at BroadwayLifeApparel.com. If you're a fan of theater or a theater person, you will love our exclusive designs made by yours truly. And some of the purchases actually go to help the Actors Fund and other organizations during this time. So check out BroadwayLifeApparel.com. And Steven, you're offering private ballet classes.
So that's right. I am offering private ballet
classes. Do you want to tell
people about it? Hey, yes. My name is Steven, like I said. One half of the Broadway Husbands. I am available for private ballet lessons. If you're looking to up level, or if you're just looking to
sweat
or
get in fifth position.
Yeah, get in fifth position. Check me out at stephenrhanna.com. That's stephenrhanna.com.
Okay, so today we have kind of a fun little story. I guess what month was it?
It was about...
Was it October?
3 weeks ago, maybe?
No. It was only 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was only like 3 weeks
ago. My 17-year-old niece, Taylor. Hey, Taylor.
Hi, Taylor.
Lives in Bridge City, where my brother lives, which is 5 minutes from Orange, which is where I went to high school. So it's a really small Texas town that is really...
Is it small?
It's so small. It's like... everyone who lives there works in the oil refineries that surround the town that literally permeate the air and the light and everything. Like, there's always this awareness that there are oil refineries surrounding the town. You can kind of see them everywhere there.
Yeah, they really are everywhere.
And so that is Southeast Texas. She plays in the band. So we were going to drive. It's about 2 hour drive from where we're staying here in Texas to see her play in her band.
And it was homecoming.
And it was homecoming night. So we thought it'd be a really nice treat for her and it would make her really happy to see us. And on the way there, you have to drive through Beaumont, Texas, which is the town that I spent a majority of my childhood and doing community theater. And I realized that Stephen had never really been downtown in Beaumont. He'd visited and we taught like a master class there
really
once,
briefly,
but like never really saw the town.
Yeah, because it was dark out. Like, I don't really remember seeing it. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, while we're driving through, we should just pull over and I'll show you the theater, this old, cool, you know, vaudeville house that is downtown called the Jefferson Theater. It's gorgeous. And I thought it would be really cool for Stephen to see it and for me just to kind of, you know, reflect and remember. And so we stopped and we took this really, I think it came out really nice, this nice photo of us standing holding hands. And I made a post about how it's really cool to be back here with my husband. And I used to, you know, dream of having been on Broadway and having met the man of my dreams. And here I am, like, holding
his
hand.
I'm the man of your dreams.
Yeah. Holding his hand in front of this theater that I used to perform in. It was very cool. And we made the post, not thinking anything of it. And then we go to the homecoming game. Side note, it was Bridge City, Texas, and like no one was wearing masks, and
it was
very
it was
intimidating.
Like an alternate universe a little bit, because I mean, I didn't go to a normal high school, so I never really experienced high school football anyway. But then this was like high school football in Texas, and then it was also like the alternate universe of like, wait, there's a pandemic going on, because you would never have known it by what was happening.
We were with my parents and we were all wearing masks and we stayed on the outfield.
Yeah.
So we really didn't even go near the people, but you could see the stands were packed with hundreds of people, all wearing, not wearing masks. So it was really?
I didn't see anybody wearing masks. There were some attempts. I saw some attempts.
Okay. Yeah. There were some things we saw that I think Stephen was sort of shocked by, just because he didn't grow up in Southeast Texas. You're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's happening like, mm-hmm.
Not to get political, but it definitely is Trump country, you know?
Yeah.
So we ended up leaving, you know, whatever happened.
The game was fun. It was fun.
And Taylor did great. Yeah. We were really proud of her. And then we drove back, and then I don't know when it happened, like a week later.
Yeah, it was like a couple of days later, yeah.
The city of Beaumont's like Instagram account messaged us and said, "We love your photo. We want to pay you guys to make content to come like visit." I don't remember how they said it. Like, how would you guys want to come spend the night, and we'd treat you to like a day of seeing everything that Beaumont has to offer in exchange for some content, which was so cool to me, because, you know, we make a lot of content. If you don't follow us on social media,
you should.
We make a lot of content between the podcast and YouTube and Instagram, but we don't get paid for it. So for somebody to be like, hey, here's
some money
to make this stuff, it was super exciting for us, and also to represent Beaumont. And they really wanted to they're like, we want to show people that this is an inclusive town, and that we welcome
anyone.
Almost
to like the LGBTQAI,
so they want us to
guide
to
Southeast Texas,
put together an LGBTQ guide to Southeast Texas, which we are. It's going to be on our YouTube channel, so you make sure you stay tuned if you haven't subscribed there. And we're writing a blog about it too. And really, to me, Beaumont, you know, if you as an outsider now, as an adult, I have a deeper appreciation for the history there than I did, of course, growing up there. But if you're driving from Houston to Louisiana and you want to stop somewhere, this is a great place to stop for like and stay like a couple nights, because there's a lot to do. There's a lot of good food.
Lots of good food. I mean, we ate so much. I think I gained probably between 7 and 10 pounds.
I think so too. In like 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding.
I'm not kidding.
I looked at a picture of myself like, whoa.
But the food is really good. And there is so much to do, and we did so much.
Yeah, so go check out the blog if you want to see all the stuff we did, and check out our YouTube video. But on this podcast, I just wanted to kind of reflect about the experience, and like, what did you think of, well, having been in Texas now for over 2 months.
Wait, let's be clear. We've been here for 3 months.
No.
Yeah, we got here in August.
It's only been like 10 weeks.
It's now November. It's been like 3 months. It'll be 3 months. It's in that area. It's not 2 months. It's more than 2 months. It's, you know.
I said over 2 months.
Did you say over?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You always correct me.
I'm not correcting you.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So, what was the question?
Well, I don't know. I didn't get to finish it. What's the question, Steven?
What was it like visiting Beaumont?
Sure.
I think that it's interesting because I think you usually or have set it up to be like not that great of a place. And it's such a great small town. Like, it's not a small town. It's actually a small city, right?
Would you call it a town or a city? Let's just be clear. I never really dog on Beaumont.
No, that's true. That's true.
I dog on Orange.
That's fair. You do.
So let's just be really clear.
Yeah, no, you. That's true. But I just always think of, you know, I kind of like lump them in together. So I don't really know much about Beaumont, and I didn't know much about it. But like, you know, basically like anything that I've ever heard about it was basically your childhood memories of like doing theater and like seeing some of the videos of you guys as kids and, you know, the infamous Brett Shuford video of he and his twin brother and Brett saying, we're twins, So that's kind of what I think of Beaumont. And, you know, I was truthfully, like, really blown away by how nice everyone was that we were around and how much there really was to do there. I mean, it seemed like it seems like it should be a town where people are just kind of like not, there's nothing to do, right? Like you just go to school or you go to work and you go home, but there's like a real scene, a real culture there. You know, of like a lot of arts, like they want arts to be happening, and hopefully they will be soon, you know, when the pandemic ends. But, you know, I think I was mostly blown away by the just how friendly people were. And, you know, and I think that, like, seeing you get nostalgic or get sentimental, like, makes me, like, kind of makes my heart break for you. And I don't even know why, but it makes me, like,
why?
I don't know. I just, like, it makes me emotional when I see you kind of get like, I can tell that like your wheels are turning the whole time we're there and like thinking about things. And then part of me is like, oh my God, I wonder if he's like thinking about like bad memories or good memories. And like, you know, and I know it's like a mixed bag because life is a mixed bag. So I don't know. I like, for some reason, like my heart like goes out to you when we're in like situations like that because, and I would assume that maybe it does, your heart goes out to me when we're in situations. But, you know, I mean.
Yeah, when we're in Pittsburgh and we're driving through Castle Shannon and you're like, that was the house and I did this and that. And you have such, like, fun. Like, your memories are really positive of your childhood.
Really?
I don't remember you telling me anything really negative about.
Because I've blocked it all out.
Is that what it is?
No. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, like, some negative stuff, but nothing, like, crazy.
I feel like most of your negative memories came later, like when you were a little older.
Ew.
Am I wrong?
I don't know. No,
What?
No, I don't think so. I think that I have some negative memories. Maybe I just choose not to bring them up all the time.
Maybe that's what it is. Because I don't feel like, you know, it wasn't horrible. I mean, I'm very lucky. I'm very privileged, yeah. Clearly. And, you know, but for me, there was so much struggle in my childhood because there was just, I was so uncomfortable.
Right.
I just never felt comfortable there. I never felt like I fit in. I never felt like I didn't fit in at home at all. No one was interested in any of the stuff I did. They tried. They would try to be, and then they would just get bored. And I was like fully committed, and I would get made fun of. because of that, you know, and there were no other kids around that like wanted to be on Broadway that I could talk to about it who, you know what I mean? And I was like, that's all I wanted to do.
Right.
And so I think you're right that there were a lot of times over the course of the 2 days, I didn't sleep very well.
Yeah.
I'd wake up at like 5 a.m. and my brain was just reliving all these memories of different things. Like I had this memory that popped in my head last night from sixth grade at Marsha Woody's School of Dance. I was getting a sip of water between classes, and this girl, Jackie Woolwine, whispered in my ear, "Will you go with me?" While I was getting
a sip of water. Say?
And I remember I stood up and I went, "Go where?
Go with you where?"
I didn't know what that meant.
Wait, how old were you?
I was in sixth grade.
What did she want you to do?
I don't know. She wanted me to like go out with her. I don't know. I remember
being. Do you like date people in sixth grade?
No. I wouldn't, but I mean, you do start to know.
No, I mean, yeah, but like, you're not like dating.
Like, my friend Ashley today told me her daughter just came out and she's in sixth grade. I'm a lesbian. Really? I was like, well, that's nice that she can do that. Like, we didn't have that luxury.
Right. That's true.
And she's going to the same middle school that Ashton and I went to. So I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about, like, even just, like, going. We went to eat at this one restaurant that was in the shopping center where my mom and I would go grocery shopping.
Mm. Oh, right.
Excuse me. So then I had all these memories of, you know, pulling into the parking lot in the station wagon and going and getting groceries with my mom and like just like flashing back to my mom's haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
Like things like that that like I haven't thought about.
And it makes you emotional, right?
I think it feels very reconciliation. Like, is that the word? Reconciliatory? I don't know. Anyway, I feel like I'm reconciling something by processing this.
Mm-hmm.
Like that I never really reconciled.
That it was actually a good place.
I don't even know if it was a good place.
Not that you ever thought it wasn't.
It wasn't. It's not a judgment. It's not good or bad.
No, that's what I mean.
It's just that now I can go, I do feel sorry for that little boy. Like, I feel sorry for that kid, but that's not who I am anymore.
Right.
And that's what I mean. It's like, oh, okay, I can kind of let go of any more residual resentments or frustrations I had from that time. Because I've moved on, and to see that city in new eyes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, so I guess my question for you is, what did you, besides like the personal stuff, and we can get into that more if you want, but what did you learn in the last 2 days about Beaumont that you didn't know until this visit? Was there anything?
It's hard to say that I learned something new about Beaumont as a city. I mean, I definitely understand a little bit more about, like, I know it was built on oil, that's clear.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand a little bit more about how that happened and, like, how it continues to thrive as a city because of oil, which is interesting to me. And I have a lot of big feelings about that.
Yeah.
As somebody who cares about the environment. And I also have a lot of ideas of how to help it thrive even as we continue to move away from fossil fuels. But, because I do think it's a great city with a lot of great history and a lot of potential. It has so much potential, the old architecture downtown and, you know, but I think for me, what I realized is like, I think if we had never moved to Orange, I probably would have been so much happier.
Mm.
Like, I liked Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
I loved my friends there. I loved my childhood there. Like, all my fond memories of my childhood were all in Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
So to go back there feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes me, like, really mad that we moved to Orange.
Right.
Orange isn't, it's not the place, you know. It was just the experiences that I had at that time, but I definitely feel like Beaumont is trying to be more progressive. It feels more progressive than it certainly did when I was growing up there. I'm sure the internet has something to do with that. But I was very impressed with how welcome we were.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel judged, or I didn't feel like anybody was like you know how sometimes in Charleston someone would like be nice to you, but you could feel like there was something else going on underneath the surface?
Yeah.
I didn't feel that at all.
I didn't feel that at all either. And,
you know, there's like that whole bless your heart thing. Like,
yeah,
you love the sinner, but hate the sin.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just about to say something like, I was going to say, do you think that you felt that way because that's true, or do you think you felt that way because, like, this past couple of days, or you think you felt that way because of who you are today? But then you just said the thing about Charleston, and yeah, I guess it's a little bit of both, right? It's because of
right.
We're super comfortable with who we are, obviously, but like also the people were genuinely like super sweet and just so welcoming and smart.
Yeah, we met some really smart people.
Smart.
And I also feel like if I had had friends like that growing up there, it would have been a whole different experience. But what's interesting is coming back after 20 years
right.
and spending two solid days there. And it's a town that I've always identified with, like as my childhood. But I said to somebody today, I said, I think I spent most of my 20s trying to pretend I never grew up there. I spent most of my 30s trying to accept that I grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am in my 40s, and I'm like living there. how is that the reality of my life? It's just super weird.
I know. I felt like, because I wasn't there today with you, and I felt kind of weird leaving you there. I was like, oh no, I hope he doesn't get like too...
It's hard without you yeah. because you ground me in my life now.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this trip is helping me not need that as much as I used to.
Wait, you don't need me? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No. But like, I feel like I'm gaining my independence and my strength in the past of who I was.
That's good.
If that makes any sense.
I mean, yeah, I think it does. I mean, it feels like whatever negative associations you have, you're able to kind of just like be around them and not let them take over, right? Is that right. kind of what you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, that makes sense.
Very, very, it was very nostalgic. I would love to get people visiting there. I think people should visit. I think that city really deserves a bit of a renaissance. But I was saying to the girls today that run the account there, I was like, I think the best thing that they could do is they have to start thinking forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because it's known for oil
right.
doesn't mean that they have to like
keep it
that. Like you can right. keep the memory of that, and you can keep, no matter what, we're going to need oil and
yeah.
it's going to be a thing. They're going to find other gases or whatever to use. But like I was saying to them, this could be a startup town. This could be a town. There's all these old warehouses
mm-hmm.
where like, if they built out the airport a little bit more and got some more airlines flying there, and you could get startup businesses, because it's so affordable.
And so cute.
And it's super cute. And there's lots of...
a lot of like typical like old style bungalows on square lots there. You know, everything's really flat because you're in Texas. And it's like just really cute. There's some really cute homes
yeah,
there.
It could be really great. It just needs more accessibility to the rest of the world.
Yeah. For sure.
I think that's the only thing. Because unless you drive through, it's like you're not going to really go there.
Right.
Right?
I guess you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's why we've been.
But, you know, I think that if you want to go see a small town, and let's just be honest, and you'll learn this when you go watch our video and read the blog. Texas would not be Texas if it weren't for Beaumont.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what I learned. It's like... I mean, it's just really...
The oil boom
is huge.
Is what made Texas, Texas.
Yeah.
It is one of the most important things, and it's the only museum is, like, the size of our, like, of one block in Manhattan.
It is really small.
They gotta build that out more. It's yeah. It should be shining.
And, well, not only that, they should have, like, to your, like, point, it's, like, they should make that museum maybe bigger or not, but, like, they should have reasons to go there, like, some sort of cool like coffee shop or some sort
that's
of like I like the cool workspace idea that you
said. There'd be a co-working space that overlooks the old Western town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With like glass that overlooks it. It'd be so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's one of my ideas. Anyway, it's been a really fun, it was a really cool thing, very healing. I was really glad you got to experience it with me.
Me too. I mean, even though you've been to Pittsburgh a lot and spent a lot of time there, I feel like you don't really know what it was like where I really grew up.
In Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I lived there for 3 months.
All right. I guess you're right.
Every time we drive past the Giant Eagle or the... What's the shop and save that you worked at? You're like, I worked there.
Well, let's be clear. We don't really drive past it that often. It's only
but
sometimes.
Every time that we do, you're like, I worked at that shop and save.
Yeah. Well, that's a big deal. I worked
I
there.
I get it. We've gone to Beaumont like twice.
More than twice. Maybe three times.
All
right. You're right. And but I'm really glad that I got to go. And it's just, you know, because I love you, and it's nice to see that, you know, that's, like, who you are. Like, that's where you were brought up, and, like, I don't know, just, it was nice to be there, and nice to see Texas.
Yeah. What about you guys? Have you ever gone back to your hometown, and what's that like for you? Come leave us a comment on Instagram, or leave us a comment on the blog. Let us know like what it's like. This is the world now. We're all being revisited or revisiting our past because of the pandemic.
And spending time in your hometown.
And we'd love to know how you're thriving during this time. And now we're going to move on to a section of our podcast that we call
Spotlight on Love.
Okay, so this comes from Mallory. And she says, I've returned to my small town after being away for 3 years, and while I love my job, I'm only 28 and single. Finding men to date here seems impossible. They're all either too busy or just want to hook up. What do you suggest to meet a man that I might find intellectually attractive as well as physically attractive while still trying to live in a small town?
This is a really hard question to answer right now, especially because of the pandemic. So like, I guess like my normal answer would be church or, you know, some sort of library or like special events. But I guess if it's a small town, maybe there are like some more social things happening. So maybe like outdoor things happening. So I guess I would like kind of go to the next events where you know that there'll be like a younger crowd there and try and introduce yourself to like two people that you don't know who you might find sort of attractive. Is that bad advice?
Well, I just think like your question is intellectually and physically attractive. You're not always going to get both.
That's not true.
Not always. You can sometimes. But I think that your expectations have to be not lowered, but like, you know, like your expectations need to be open. Because in a small town, you don't have as big of a selection.
Mm-hmm.
Not like living in New York City where like, there's just so many people. It's like if you date one person, you don't like them, you'll meet somebody else the next day. But I think that most of the time, the question, I feel like we've answered this question before like this, but it's like, you got to think outside the box. Where is a place that someone who cares about their body or, you know, that you think would be physically attractive to you, where would they hang out that would also engage their mind?
Yeah, like that's also like they're thinking the same way you would want them to think or that you think about certain ideas.
Like there's like always like,
I was thinking like some sort of earth fair or like
yeah,
some sort
think of
like
things like geocaching, like are there geocaching communities or like different things that are adventurous and not just like,
or is there like some sort
bars.
Of like cowboy roundup or something?
Or like I was thinking today in Beaumont, we went to this art studio where all these artists rent space to paint or sculpt or do whatever. And then they pay like a monthly rent to be able to to make their art. Do they do events? Mm-hmm. Like, that would be cool. Go to those events and meet some artists who are like challenging the way people think or challenging the way they think, you know? I think the most important thing is to always be curious and just think outside the box, because if you're just like looking on match.com or like some website, you're limiting your possibilities.
But then also, then I would also give you a little bit of like fair warning, you know, remember it's a small town and don't get too crazy too quick with people.
Yeah, because everyone will know.
Everyone will know.
Yeah, it's a good point, Stephen.
See?
Well, we hope that helps you, Mallory. And if you want to get love, relationship, family, dating advice from our unqualified selves, shoot us a message at BroadwayHusbands.com or on Instagram at BroadwayHusbands.
Yeah.
And we will talk to you in our next episode. Don't forget to love who you love.
And love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.